Good evening. Tonight's Bible reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, and can be found on page 1112 in your pew Bibles. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare this fearlessly as I should. We thank God for his word.
Good evening. Beautiful evening, isn't it? We had to actually close the blinds so I wouldn't be blinded. It's interesting, when I got this news that I was going to be preaching on prayer in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is a very hot subject in mission today. It has been for some years. And of course there are some who dismiss all spiritual powers, and especially demonic and evil powers, completely. They're a fantasy. They're a hangover from our human infancy, when we believed in such powers. And they dismiss them. And there are Christians who not sort of dismiss them, but at least don't live in the light of them. That they believe, or practically they live, as if evil did not exist. However, there is also another side of mission studies which sees a demon under every chair, every table, behind every terrible act that happens, behind every misfortune. It must be demonic. And I don't know, I asked a couple of people before the service, and I was disturbed that you hadn't... Do you remember these books? This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness, Frank Peretti. They were just fantastic novels. And there was a spiritual battle going on. And when somebody prayed, the angels, who had swords, of course, they didn't have machine guns, they had swords, which made them all more romantic, got power. And when people didn't pray, the demons got power. And there was this sort of battle against demons and angels. And there is a tendency to think about spiritual warfare in this way. Now, I don't want to turn this into a class in mission studies, but I do think we've got to be clear about what we're talking about when we're talking spiritual warfare. So God doesn't have a rival. It's not God against the devil. The devil is God's enemy, but a rival supposes that they have an equal amount of power. Wrong. The devil does not have the power that God has. And we think in these terms, in our worldview, God versus the devil, and then that comes down to angels versus demons, and of course, what's his name, who wrote Angels and Demons, what's his name? Oh, Dan Brown. It's absolutely awful. angels versus demons. And then that, of course, means that we are God's mates. We are God's friends. And he's using us to defeat the devil against the non-Christians. No, this is not reality. This is not the way the Bible understands reality. God is above everything. Now, you'll excuse this next slide because it's much too small and I'll get told off by various people on AV for doing this. However, this is the biblical reality. God is above absolutely everything and everyone. He has no rival. As Dave read at the beginning of time, at the beginning of time, God made everything. In the midst of the nations, when a God tried to make something, another God comes along and tries to beat them up. But no, God's above everything and everyone. And he is the creator. Everything else is creation. And that creation has a choice to make. It is either faithful, and that means like God's messengers, the angels, or it is rebellious against God. And so there is creation that is either faithful or rebellious. And as we know through Israel, Israel were God's people who seemed to be rebellious most of the time. Israel, one of the meanings of Israel is he who fights with God. So either we're faithful creation or we're rebellious creation. And that rebellious creation, which we understand as the devil and his minions, it's not Despicable Me, he's even more despicable than Despicable Me, his minions are there to deceive people, to discourage them. And God's faithful creation is there to encourage us, to inspire us, to entreat us. And that's the good creation. And the battlegrounds of spiritual warfare are human cultural systems, because if you ask an anthropologist who's not far from here, my wife, all culture is good, bad, and demonic. It has all of those things. Human social political systems can be evil or they can be good. Human beings, individuals, we can either go on the side of God or we can go on the side of the devil. And I have to write an article one time. I don't know what I'm going to write it for, but anyway. It's going to be called Bride of Christ or Wife of Hosea. Because we as the church are both. Because we are both faithful at times as Bride of Christ and we are rebellious at times. We are against God's holy rule. And of course, the inner self is a battleground. Every human heart, and ours, and once we have, it's really good to grow in self-awareness, because, you know, I hate to confess this to you, but because you're all priests, I can do that. I'm a sinner. I am a sinner, and I have that inner struggle, and that's my spiritual warfare as well. So let's get out the idea that we are God's mates. We are in the battlegrounds, and these battlegrounds are important. This is where we pray. Prayer in spiritual warfare is to pray for those battlegrounds against rebellious creation. So do we pray for our government? We should. Our government needs wisdom. It needs a lot of wisdom when we talk about Brexits. A Brexit, new word, is going to come into the Oxford English Dictionary. They need wisdom. We need wisdom. These are spiritual battlegrounds. Leaving or staying in the European Union is a battleground, which will bring justice. Our political systems. How do we act in the world? How do we act towards our neighbour? The devil wants us to be mean. The devil doesn't have a great grand plan. He just wants us to be mean. Because he's mean. He's defeated. Christ defeated him already. These are our battlegrounds. Now, when I saw the passage, I got awfully excited. And I spent several 100 hours studying the whole of the passage. I thought, I'm going to preach on the whole armor of God. And then I realized it was on prayer, which was a bit discouraging. No, it wasn't. But so I'm not going to actually, I am going to comment on the full armor of God. But really, what we are talking about is this passage. Chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. That means at all times, in for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is prayer in spiritual warfare. Prayer in the Spirit. And Paul goes through the whole full armor of God, and he talks about the word. Excuse me. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. But this other weapon, he doesn't assign a weapon to it. I imagine it's a spear. Of prayer. Pray on all occasions. And what does he say here, verse 18? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions and pray at all times. Dave preached, I think it was last week, about this type of spirit only comes out through prayer. And he commented that this is probably that you should live a life of prayer. See, I do listen to you. Live a life of prayer. Pray at all times, on all occasions. It's constant. It's living in an attitude of prayer. You know, we are now going to have a time of worship, is one thing to say that really kind of gets my goat. But we're going to have a time of prayer. You didn't say that, by the way. I noticed it. No, but we say we're going to have a time of prayer. No, we're just going to live like we're praying constantly. And that doesn't mean closing your eyes and putting your hands together, because that's dangerous. But it means living in communication with God. I'm going to be doing a devotional tomorrow morning for some MA students at All Nations. And Jesus lived like that. He left people unhealed and still with demons, in order that he should go and pray. Mark 1 says that. Because praying on all occasions and at all times. Pretty much, when you look at that model I showed you of spiritual warfare, pretty much all we do in ministry, whether we're announcing the kingdom of God, whether we are announcing salvation, whether we're feeding the poor, whether we're visiting old people, we are involved in spiritual warfare. It's all embracing. Basically, because the devil doesn't like human beings. Because they're made in God's image and he doesn't like God. So even bad human beings, the devil hates. Because they're made in God's image. However much we've destroyed God's image, we're made in God's image. So on all occasions, at all times, don't stop. Live a life of prayer. And I hope this has come through in the last few weeks when we've been talking about prayer. Prayer is not folding our hands and closing our eyes. It is an attitude of life. So Paul says, pray constantly in the Spirit. Oops, sorry, went a bit quickly. Pray in every way, all types of prayer, all types of petition, request. The first word is normally just what prayer to God is. Requests can be requests to human beings or whatever. But in every way, pray. And it's so interesting, and the evening services have really been modelled around a model of prayer. And this is a model of prayer. All types of prayer. Requests to God. And there are so many different ways in which people pray in the Bible. I think Moses is probably the one that he just kind of says, I don't know if you remember this prayer in Deuteronomy where he says, don't destroy the Israelites, Lord. Don't destroy the Israelites. Just think what the Egyptians are going to say. And he actually says that. That's really kind of getting at God and saying, just think, what they're going to say, the Egyptians. They're going to say you couldn't do it. All types of prayer. So it doesn't matter. There's no one way in which we pray. All types of prayer. The famous arrow prayer. The, oh Lord, help me now. The constant prayer of every day we set a time to pray. Wilma and I together. I pray quite constantly when I have to preach. Because I'm terrified. There's those sorts of prayers. So all types of prayer and petition, deep talking to God, talking about what's going on during the day, talking about what's going to happen tomorrow like we just did. In all ways, keep praying to God. So on all occasions, all times, all types of prayer, and for all of the Lord's people. For all of the Lord's people. Don't just limit it to our church. All of the Lord's people. We should be praying for the church in Ecuador. There's been an earthquake. 233 people at least have died. Prayer for the church in Japan. What are they going to do? They've had an earthquake. Myanmar had an earthquake. That's three earthquakes in about 24 hours. It's frightening. Especially if you live on the Pacific Rim. So pray for all of God's people. Pray for all people. Like I said, the devil doesn't say, oh, I hate Christians more than I hate Muslims. No, he hates Muslims as well. He just hates everything, in fact. So be praying for all people. Our prayer should be holistic. And I use that term. People tend to miss off the W, but I don't. Holistic. It is the whole of prayer. It should be all times, all types of prayer for all people. And I, you know, if next Sunday I may stand up and say my challenge has been through this series is to live a life of prayer and not compartmentalize my life into work, into play, into sleep, and into prayer. It's all to be a prayer to the Lord our God. Because he is the Lord. He is the one who can do more than we can ask or imagine. And I can ask and imagine a lot of stuff, believe me. He's made that claim and he's never failed to come through yet. So it should be holistic. Paul also says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Praying for the advance of the gospel. That he may declare, Paul loves this phrase, the mystery of the gospel. And when he says mystery, he's basically saying, I haven't worked it out, you know. God showed it to me. And that's the mystery of the gospel. And so that verse 19, pray that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, what is this mystery of the gospel? You know, Paul, unpack it a bit, mate. Well, he has already in chapter 1, he has unpacked this very clearly. God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. What is it? To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That is what God revealed to Paul as the mystery of the gospel. So Paul says, pray for me as I announce this, the mystery of the gospel. That God will bring unity to all things in earth and on heaven under Christ. His holy rule. Now, can't see the banner. The banner's not up. We are looking at Luke 11. This is our church motto for the year. Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, may your kingdom come. Now that is Jesus's prime request. Father, hallowed be your name, and may your kingdom come. And actually, God's name is hallowed by his righteous rule coming upon the earth. And that's what Paul's praying. He said, pray for me. I'm announcing the coming of God's kingdom. So this prayer in spiritual warfare links directly back to what we're looking at the whole of this year. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says to us, pray that may your kingdom come. This is prayer for the advance of the gospel in the world. And when we look at the world today, we often think, oh my word, what a disaster. Church is losing power in our country. We're getting pushed out of public spaces. We can't have a word to say. But let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, that the church is growing immensely in the world. And it is even growing here in the UK. But among churches that are African, Asian, Latin American churches. But they are growing, and they're growing fast. There is an advance of the gospel, and we need to pray for this advance of the gospel. Yes, pray holistically at all times for all people, but pray that the Lord will advance his message. And this is why it's great. It's great that we prayed for Maggie Leroy, our mission partners, that the God's message of love, compassion, salvation, peace, justice will be announced in a world that is anything but just, righteous, and peaceful. Jesus Christ, we were watching something on the TV this afternoon, in the 2014 Queen's speech, she named Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. Who could you say that about in this world today? The Prince of Peace. That his message and the message of his sacrificial death and resurrection should be announced to the nations. And this is why mission is so important in the church. We should pray for the advance of the gospel. So prayer in spiritual warfare is to pray for God's righteous rule to be seen in those spiritual battlegrounds that we saw. Human, cultural, social and political structures in individuals' lives and in our life as well. In our inner life. Oh. Now, we are entering a battle. There's a film, I couldn't remember where it was. It was The Rock, I think. And some people take over Alcatraz, and the commander of the terrorists says, be assured, men, we are in harm's way. It's Ed Harris, he's a great villain. The battle's won. Jesus Christ has definitively defeated Satan. The outcome of the battle's not in doubt. It's not in doubt. So we do not need to fear. Why? Because we have God's Kevlar. You know what Kevlar is, don't you? It's the bulletproof material. We have the full armor of God. And Paul lists these things out. I was very tempted to read the whole thing. But the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness, which also can be translated justice. The shoes of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the spirit. Excuse me, I'm going to deafen you if I cough too loud. Truth, justice, gospel, faith, salvation, spirit. We don't defend ourselves against the attacks of the evil one. We don't defend ourselves because we don't need to. We need to put on this full armor. Because the protection we have for that battle when we pray is the gospel itself. It's not internal to me, thank the Lord. It's external to me. It is the gospel itself. Jesus Christ paid the full price by being crucified and rising again. He won the battle, and we have the full armor of God. And we need to be aware of this. I'm not suggesting that every morning we should say, okay, Lord, I'm putting on the belt of truth, I'm now putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the... No, I'm not suggesting that, but I'm suggesting that we are aware that it is the gospel that is our protection in our mission in this world to announce the righteous rule of Jesus Christ. It is only the gospel, and that is why we don't need to fear. And sometimes I found the Frank Peretti books fascinating, but sometimes slightly scary. We don't need to be scared. He's gone through everything that the devil can throw at us. And it is the gospel that protects us from the evil one. So protection in spiritual warfare is to be found in the gospel. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what? What do we draw out of all this? Our prayer should be holistic. At all times, in all ways, for all people. In all of these battlegrounds. Intercession for these battlegrounds. It's a mystery. Why does God listen to us? He knows about it. He knows better than we do. But he wants us to. He wants to hear our concern. He wants to know that we're serious about these battlegrounds. Because when we're serious about something, not only do we talk to him about it, we do something about it. I just to give a quick example. When I pray, I bless food. People always, they look at me all the time and say, you say grace. It's like, I don't want to. But I always pray, Lord, for those who are hungry, provide for them tonight. And I almost hear this voice. It said, I gave you that job. Because when we actually pray about something, we do something about it. So our prayer should be holistic. We should be concerned about the world. We should be talking to God about the world. In all ways. Don't limit to one way. We should pray for the advance of the gospel. Paul asked for personal prayer. And he's basically saying to the people he's writing to, pray for me. I'm in Rome. He's probably under house arrest. Pray for me that I should be bold about it. That I won't be scared when I'm talking to the guards who are standing there. Pray for me. We should pray for the advance of the gospel. I don't know if there are any, bookmarks out of there where we've got the different mission partners on them, but pray for them. We pray every day for one of the mission partners. We're very, very sort of list-orientated in prayers. But, yeah. So yesterday we were praying, or was it this morning, we were praying for the Eastern European projects. Pray for missionaries. Pray for church leadership. Pray for the Archbishop of Canterbury. Pray, even I might say, for the Pope. I do. He's Argentine. That's not the only reason I pray for him. And finally, recognize that our protection for our spiritual warfare is found in the gospel, not in our own resources. It's in him. And that transfers. It doesn't mean, you know, if I'm a spiritual warrior. No, our protection is in him, not in our own resources. Pray holistically, all times. Let us be a church of prayer. Let us rely upon God for the advance of the gospel in his world. So let's pray now. Our loving Father, we thank you that you are the God of this universe. You are God of the whole earth and all the people in it. You are God of the cultural systems, of political and social systems. You are the God of communities, of countries, of individuals, of the IMF, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the EU, and all the other bodies who think they have power. But you are their God and you are their Lord. And although sometimes we just don't understand, we know that you are the Lord of the whole earth. Help us to be holistic in our prayer. Help us to remember those who are announcing your gospel in other parts of the world. Help us to recognize the protection that we have is from you, not in our own power and our own strength and resources. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. Amen.